friends or something, would you rather, one example might be, would you rather be forced to wear wet socks for a year, or would you rather only get to wash your hair once a year? And you know, talk and debate about those two things because you have nothing else to talk about. Another option is, would you rather have a hurricane or a tornado? Now, my experienced opinion would be a hurricane. And here's why. While the hurricane is much more destructive in wide paths, like this last one was 400 miles across, who's dodging that? The tornado, you have very little warning, if any at all. And so with a hurricane, the warning makes all the difference, right? You have what has been affectionately called the cone of uncertainty. And as we sit here and watch patiently the newscast and the drama that is unfolding, and sometimes things that, like, you know, they're grasping at straws with something to say, right? Because they just have some random guy on a beach, and he's talking about how high up the surf could come. We don't care, right? We don't care. And he's saying, well, the surf could come here, or it could come a little bit higher, and we're screaming at the television, we don't care. Give us more information other than this. Give us some useful information, right? So there is that. So with a hurricane, while both are destructive and we'd wish neither of them on anyone, if we had to choose between the two, would you rather have a hurricane? Yes, because of, I get a warning. Destruction is coming and I get a warning, right? And that's important. Would you say that as a Christian, we could tell the world that destruction is coming? Would you say that? I think we could probably say that. If we looked over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, we could say destruction is coming. It says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and grieve and give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, with when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and away from the glory of his power. Now, if you heard that as we read it, it wasn't just bad people that were going to get destruction, right? While they were implied there, those who were afflicting the church in that time, did you realize who else was included in that list? Those who don't know God. Ignorance is not an escape. Well, I didn't know there's a hurricane coming. I didn't know. Does a hurricane not affect you because you didn't know about it? You magically get a bubble around the destruction because you didn't know there was a hurricane coming. No, of course not. Destruction is coming, even those who are ignorant of it. Look over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. There's this whole section here, and we won't take time to read all of it, but really this deals in verse 3 through 13, really deals with this whole concept. But beginning in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 3, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come and with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And there are those who say that, right? Well, when's Jesus going to come, right? When's this destruction? This hurricane, when's this hurricane going to come? Oh, it's not going to affect me. I'm going to be out surfing in the hurricane. I'm out with a wind kite. Did y'all ever see those guys? And not, it didn't happen this time, at least. We haven't seen the video yet. But there were guys out, like, windsurfing, kite surfing, and they got lifted, like, 20 feet up in the air. They weren't taking it very seriously, were they? There are people who don't take the warning very seriously. are very pshat about the kind of what ifs to the whole, you know, destruction is coming. And here in this context, you may tell somebody that there will be destruction, and they mock that concept. They mock that concept. Verse 8 says, "But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day," which is a long way of saying time is not the same for God as it is for us. "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come." Not maybe, not there's this cone of possibility. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, without any warning, without any announcement, in which the heavens will pass away and roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works shall be burned up." Forecast, intense heat, day of destruction. Verse 13, "But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells." And though all these things will happen, we who are righteous are looking for something better that will be coming. So destruction will happen. Matthew chapter 24, these very things are talked about in Matthew chapter 24. And Christ says, you don't know when these days are coming. When the disciples were kind of asking about the end of all things, beginning in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be like just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be." And there will be some like that. That even though you tell them destruction's coming, Noah, the preacher of righteousness, told them destruction's coming, and they had no idea until it was too late and the flood came. People continue on as though life was the same, even though there was a warning in that time. Verse 42 says, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." So there is a day coming, and we don't even know. We don't know when that day is going to happen. It could be now. It could be in a few minutes. It could be tomorrow. It could be at the end of your life. We have no idea when that day is coming, but we can have confidence, right? We can be confident of that day and not be afraid of that day. Look over in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." We'll be able to have confidence in that day of judgment. We'll be able to have the attitude like Paul, who said to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1, verse 22 or 21, "To die is gain. To die is gain. I'm cashing out, man. I don't have anything to lose by cashing out." And over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, a rather famous passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That crown's waiting for you also. So there is this warning, and there is a confidence and a great anticipation of awaiting that we can have for that judgment. But what about everybody else? What about everybody else? I want to look at a passage that may be a little archaic for us to be looking at in this context, but I think holds bearing on especially events that have unfolded for us. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people, and say to them, If I bring a sword upon a land, and the people of the land take one man from among them, and make him their watchman, and he sees a sword coming upon the land, and blows on the trumpet, and warns the people, that then he who hears the sound of the trumpet, and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But he had he taken the warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees a sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away and in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the hand of the watchman. Now as for you, O son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth. Give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. Now we got to sit there and watch these watchmen who stood on the beach and said, look, a hurricane's coming, right? And they stood on various beaches and they presented various models and they showed up these various lines and said, hey, there's a hurricane coming, maybe here, maybe here. And they did their job, right? Rather dramatically sometimes, but they did their job. They want to create in you guys, in all of us, as their listeners, they want to create this sense of urgency that what? We will react and actually take notice and actually do something, right? Because there is a tendency, especially for us in this area, that we have threat of hurricane and yet they go away. Threat of hurricane and they go away. For us to be complacent about the threat of a hurricane because we always think that it'll go away. I was told they never come here. In 2004, they were wrong, they came. But we get complacent. Everybody gets complacent about a warning. How many of you actually pay attention when an alarm goes off in a car alarm in a parking lot? How many of you even pay attention to that? Nobody cares. Like, you don't have a car yet, but one day you won't pay attention. Nobody pays attention to that. Nobody pays it because it's so commonplace, that warning. And then, but they raise the standard high and say, take heed, this is a real event, this will impact you, it will do some damage, right? And so they go to the nth degree to make sure that you understand. Apparently you have to be bald. Like, by the way, if you were going to be like a weatherman, I think Florida would be like the place to be the weatherman. You know what I'm saying? Because they get a lot of airtime in Florida. And they're like rock stars down here. And to be a really good one, you have to be bald, apparently. So, I don't know. But anyway, that's beside the point. So, they are watchmen. Can we make a spiritual application to this? There is destruction coming. We know for certain that there is destruction coming. God has set you as a watchperson. To make it politically correct. God has set you as a watchman. Look over in Matthew. When did God set me as a watchperson? Well, look over in Matthew. Matthew 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. When did God set me to be a watchman? When he said, go and take my message to the whole world. He set you as a watchman. He set you as a watch person to warn those around us. Destruction's coming. Are you ready? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all men. And we're going to finish up looking at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul took this very seriously. And he kind of uses this in his final message to the elders in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. He says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel and of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went out preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. I'm going away. You're never going to see me again." Verse 26, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from the declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Therefore be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." He said, "I'm leaving, and I could possibly die. I'm never going to see you again. But this one thing is certain. I am innocent from the blood of any man. As a watchman, he's an innocent watchman. No blood would be accounted to his hands because he told them. He said, I never ceased from telling you about this message from God." And so tonight, as we sit here, and all of us have been warned very thoroughly about the coming hurricane, and we were thankful for that, right? You were thankful for the warning. How many times did you turn it back on and say, well, where's the hurricane now? What's the track? What's that European model saying now? How many times did you turn on the message to see the updates on the destruction that could possibly be coming? How many times have we warned those around us that destruction's coming? How many times have we been the watchman, the faithful watchman, to say, destruction will come, are you ready? When you felt that sense of urgency and you knew you had to act and you knew you had to do something and you knew you had to wait in line for 3 hours to get gas, you did something, right? Because you knew it was real. We need to communicate to our friends. We need to communicate to the world around us that the destruction is real. Action is required. And so tonight, I'm asking you, would you rather somebody warned you, or to be a surprise? Because according to the Bible, even if it is a surprise, you're still held accountable. Even those who don't know God, it's no excuse. You will still be held accountable. And tonight I want to ask you also, would you rather be able to stand confidently on the day of judgment and say, I've been waiting for this my entire life. I'm ready to go home. Or would you rather stand in fear and have no idea where you're going? Tonight you have that opportunity to make certain your destination and to put your spiritual shutters on, so to speak, and be ready for that destruction that's coming. But we also need to lift up our head and realize that we need to be the faithful watchmen to warn those around us. Would you come now as we stand and as we sing?